My guest today is the artist Vahamu Peku. His recent op-ed in the July 8th edition of artsatl.com was titled Art Will Tell. A major theme of his work is Black masculinity. Vahamu, welcome to City Lights.
It is a great honor to be here.
And great to have you. In your recent op-ed, you mentioned the murder in Charleston of Walter Scott. That was in April of last year and already seems ages ago because several more police-related killings of young Black men have occurred and been in the news. How does your art address such tragedy?
You know, it's been a really interesting journey to continue the dialogue that my work has had, because my work, as you mentioned before, has addressed issues of Black masculinity. And as far back as 2007, you know, I was doing work that addressed issues of police violence and police brutality against Black men. And, you know, it sadly has kind of made my work feel even more relevant, because I think, you know, at a certain point, my work was speaking to a very specific audience that was privy, you know, to this kind of information. But as we see more of this play out in the media, as, you know, cell phone video footage and social media has made us all much more aware and much more put us in much closer proximity to this type of violence, it has added another dimension to the work. And so currently, what I'm working on is actually thinking about the ways in which those spectacles contribute to the trauma that we all feel when we see it. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that my work can usher us into a space to have a different type of conversation about this violence and not just perpetuate the violence. I don't want to continue contributing to this campaign of visual imagery of violence against Black bodies. And so the work that I'm doing now is actually a kind of resistance to that by offering a glimpse of hope and a glimpse of life, that there is something beyond just the ongoing violence against Black bodies.
Well, given radio as a medium, we can't look at your artwork, but if you would take us on a radio tour of your visual artwork, that would be welcome.
Of course. So this new show, this new body of work that I'm working on, is called Do or Die, Affect, Ritual, Resistance. And when I was contacted by the Halsey Institute of Contemporary Art in Charleston about doing an exhibition there, the invitation was accompanied, you know, the story of Walter Scott. And they were basically like, it's time, you know, for you. It's time for your brand of work to come to our space. And I immediately began thinking about how I could address, you know, this violence, this ongoing violence. And, you know, I'm a practitioner of a West African spiritual system called Ifa or Yoruba. And one of the core tenets of the Yoruba theology is ancestor veneration, and the idea that our ancestors are a major part of who we are and play a major role in how we live our day-to-day lives. And so I began thinking about how I can address, you know, what's happening now in our contemporary culture through the lens of the Yoruba theology. And so the work that I'm doing now kind of brings together contemporary things like hip hop culture and the cultural retentions from Yoruba that we see manifest in our contemporary practices like hip hop and other Black aesthetic movements. And the work is a fusion of these ideas. And so there, I designed a costume that is an Egungun. The Egungun are their ancestors. It's an Egungun masquerade costume that you will see in traditional Yoruba rituals, where they bring out the ancestors represented by these costumes. So I designed one that has a very much contemporary feel to it. It has a hoodie like Trayvon Martin was wearing, but it's all covered in cowrie shells. And the lappets on the costume bear the names of men who have been killed by violence, you know, police violence or Jim Crow era lynchings or even men who were killed during the civil rights movement, their names are all on the costume, and it's a way of bringing them back, you know, to this realm to engage and to interact with us. But I did a performance where I wear the costume and I'm dancing, and then I converted that into drawings. But there's also a video that you see of me doing this dance. There's a painting series that consists of six very large paintings that feature my character, who is a spirit in transition and interacting with the various orishas and the divinities in the Yoruba pantheon as a way of seeking their permission to re-enter the living realm. Mm-hmm. And so the pieces are, like I said, they're really, everything is really large, work really big. But one of the signature images, I think, from the show is a figure of a woman who's pregnant. Her body is decorated in gold leaf. And you see my figure kneeling before her. She has her hand on his head, and he has his, you know, he's kneeling before her. She has her hand on his head, and he's basically seeking her permission to return. And the pregnant woman symbolizes the vessel, the entry, the gateway for us into, you know, the living world.
It sounds like a very consoling approach, the idea of this nurturing from the spirits. I would think these spirits would be crying a lot.
Yeah, but you know, their tears, you know, also become like watering flowers. Like it's giving life, you know, to us, and it's a way of affirming us and giving us power. One of the things that is really interesting in the ways in which the Yoruba invoke the ancestors is that the ancestors give us strength. They are our wind. They are our vehicle. They carry us. And so when we call upon them, you know, they will come, and they will come to our aid. They will come to our defense in myriad ways. And so it is important that we maintain a connection between the two. One of the things that my work is commenting on is the fact that this spectacle of violence sort of suggests, implies that, you know, we can be ended. Right, that there is a hard stop, that we can be destroyed. And thinking about the ways in which the Yoruba invoked the ancestors, there is no end. It's cyclical, it keeps going. And so if we are to think of ourselves in that way, then maybe that trauma, maybe that spectacle of violence doesn't read the same way. And we don't have to live afraid. We don't have to live with the fear of being broken.
Fahamu, it seems that those who could benefit most, who should see this artwork, may not be exposed to it.
That's very true.
How do you get these pieces, the performance art, your writings, how do you get it out there?
Well, one of the things that I have always done, and I do more and more, is I figure out different ways to express the idea. So for me, you know, even though painting is my primary medium, I don't call myself a painter or just a painter, because I do a lot of different things. And I recognize that sometimes an idea is better executed in a song than it might be in a painting. And so I will make a song, you know, or sometimes the idea is better executed as a drawing as opposed to a video. So I'll do, you know, a drawing. But in this particular exhibition, all of these different mediums that I work in come to bear. So there's the drawing series, there's the painting series, there's the performance, there's the video, but I also recorded a short film and a hip hop album. And so all of these ideas, they can exist separately, but they also connect. And they also have legs, so they can go out in different ways and bring people back to the source.
My guest this morning is Fahamu Bekou. We'll be back after a short break. This is City Lights on WABE Atlanta. We'll be right back. You're listening to City Lights on WABE. I'm Lois Reitz, is here with Fahamu Pekku. When did you first decide to use art as your medium for social change?
As a college student, as a junior, actually, I had just received Goody Mob's first album. It was called Soul Food. And I was listening to it in my dorm room one night, and a song came on called Guess Who? And in that song, each one of the rappers in the group, Goody Mob, are talking about the love and impact that their mother had on them. I lost my mom when I was 4 years old. And as I listened to the song on repeat for what must have been hours, I just found my hands moving, you know, unconsciously. And when it was all done, when I came out of it, I had created this piece that was kind of a spirit box in homage to my mother. And people would come by my room and they would see this piece and they would be like, what is that? You know, what's going on with that? Tell me about it. And I couldn't really explain what it was, but it compelled me to, for the first time, approach my siblings and other people and ask them to recall, you know, their memories from the night that my mom died. Because we were all present. My siblings and I were present when she died, so we were witnesses. But we never talked about it. We never spoke to any counselors. We never even talked to each other about it. And so at this point, I'm 20 years old, and I'm asking them to remember, you know, what happened that night. And I compared it to my own memories and realized what I remember was actually pretty accurate. And so I used that, their stories and mine, to create a body of work that I called Life After Death, which became my exhibition as a senior graduating from the Atlanta College of Art. And when the exhibition was installed and the doors opened for the exhibition that night, people came in and almost instantly people were breaking down in tears. And, you know, people were coming up to me and explaining to me that, you know, somehow I inspired them to be courageous to deal with some experience that they had, some trauma that they had experienced. And people were like, you know, I haven't talked to my brother in 25 years and now I want to call him after seeing this work. Or, you know, you just made me want to go and, you know, talk to my mother who I haven't seen in, you know, X amount of time. And I just found that to be really powerful. And I remember standing there that night and watching people's reactions to the exhibition and thinking, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to make work that means something, that actually does something, that helps people, that moves people. I don't want to just make pretty pictures. You know, I want to make work that will actually benefit society, benefit the world.
So this fits into what you've written about in terms of how you make art not only as a form of protest and creating social awareness, but also art as love.
Yes, it's a act of love.
Ta-Nehisi Coates came to mind when I was reading more about your work, and you mention your son and your daughter mm-hmm. in the op-ed. I can't imagine how a Black parent addresses something like the topic that you have to live with.
Right.
Have your children provided inspiration for more recent work?
Oh, most certainly. I always say that my daughter gave me life and my son gave that life purpose. And that's, you know, stems from the fact that when my daughter was born, I had stopped making art. I wasn't even making art anymore. I had really become so frustrated with the process and trying to, you know, get out there that I kind of stopped. And when she was born, it was kind of like, I have to do this now. You know, I have to do this so that she can see that whatever it is that she wants to be, you know, she can also achieve that. And so that was the impetus to, like, really, you know, get me running. And then when my son came a few years later, you know, as you just mentioned, looking at this little boy and thinking of the world that he's about to inherit, you know, I felt obligated to use my work to address the issues that he might ultimately face in his life. And, you know, and it was also, you know, cathartic for me in many ways as well, because being a black male, I'm living these experiences, I'm seeing these things. And so for me to use my work as a way to talk about that and as a way to engage other black men, you know, of all ages, to show them that there are other ways of living and being, that we don't have to be, we don't have to live in fear, we don't have to live, you know, where we subject ourselves to threats and dangers as a way of measuring or marking our manhood, that we can actually live with love. And as I, you know, as I said before, like, my work is that. My work is an act of love. It's about showing us all, you know, how to read and be as human beings here in this world.
We sure need more of it. My guest today is visual artist and Emory University doctoral candidate Fahamu Pekou. His exhibit, Talking Drum, is now at the Center for Civil and Human Rights through August. We didn't even get to talk about the music. Maybe you can come back.
I would gladly come back.
And at the end of August, the Halsey Institute of Contemporary Art in Charleston opens a new exhibition of Fahamu's work. We'll post this conversation later today, along with links to more information on our website, wabe.org/citylights. Fahamu Pekou, thank you again.
Thank you.